welcome to Movie Banter.
I'm Paul Carenza.
I'm John Sands.
And I'm Jennifer Masters. Hello.
Yeah.
We didn't say this last time.
Yes, you did.
I didn't say my name.
Didn't you? No one cares, that's why.
No.
Well, we'll edit out your name.
My name's Gemma Arterton.
If only.
No.
Yeah.
I'm going to get in trouble one of these days if I keep on saying things like that.
Claiming to be Gemma Arterton.
Claim to be Gemma Arterton.
Yeah, that's exactly what your defence will be.
I'd love it is because, obviously, you're an actress, obviously, and you go to auditions and things. I'd love it if you just turned up and just I'm Gemma Arterton. No, you're not. Oh, no, I am. I am her.
Prove I'm not.
Exactly. I'd like to do a monologue from my last film, Tomorrow Drew. It wasn't you. Yeah, it was. It was me.
It was
really
me.
Good makeup.
Yeah. I was the big nose version.
Oh.
Funny because it's true. Anyway.
Yes. Should we introduce we also
Paul's, there may be gurglings from wee Joseph Young here. And not Joseph Carenza, I should put out. He's
that's true, yes.
Joseph Carenza. But no, he's called Joseph and he's here and he's in my arms and he may make noises. So if you're offended by such noises, then sue us. Yeah.
Yeah. For personal injury caused by indirect baby crying.
And in 20 years from now, when he's a big he'll find you. He will. He will.
Yeah. I love the fact that you're not going to take responsibility. You're just going to wait for your son to grow up and send him out.
Too right. This is what I've got him for. Personal bodyguard.
He's going to be a strapping lad.
Yeah.
He is, isn't he? He's absolutely
he's
gorgeous.
He's a big boy already. He's grown out of newborn stuff and he's 4 weeks old. So, yeah, that was a waste.
It's all right, be for the next one.
So if you do hear gurglings, you'll probably hear it sort of a brief cry, and then it will suddenly fade into the distance as I run into the kitchen.
You hear a door shut.
Exactly.
And then Jen and I will continue.
You'll carry on talking.
Yeah,
it's fine.
But this week we are hoping to banter about such films as...
Red,
yes.
Mm-hmm. And The Kids Are All Right.
And emails. Oh, that's not a film, is it?
Email. Some of your emails.
Yes.
And Made in Dagenham.
Which I haven't seen any of, so I'm looking forward to finding out.
Whether these are worth seeing or not.
Yes.
Well, fair enough. And I've seen two, and Paul has seen the other one.
Yes. And based on the film The Kids Are All Right, which is quite lesbianic.
Lesbonic?
Yes. We thought we'd do best lesbian films. Exactly. I don't know why I'm saying that with a smile in my voice. Just because the tendency is to instantly think porn. But we're doing real films.
Exactly. Decent, proper,
good,
fine, upstanding films that involve lesbians.
Lesbian vampire killers may not appear.
No. Except in that sentence there.
Yes, well done.
But
good
beyond that, no.
We can move on from that now.
Yeah.
So that's all to look forward to.
Well, yes. So, yeah. So shall we kick off with...
Red. Which features no lesbians whatsoever. As far as I remember.
Let's move on. I'm here for the lesbians. I was promised Jenny and Gemma Arterton. Where are they?
Well, Jenny's here, but doesn't really help.
No. We're going to move away from this.
Lesbonic.
No. Red.
Red, anyway.
Lad District, no.
I didn't see Red. But,
no, I want to see Red, and I'm really hoping...
Red.
That face was brilliant.
It's the face that your son made when he's filling his nappy.
Same face I made when I'm filling my nappy.
Well, you're a busy man, you don't always have time to stop. No, anyway. Red, this is actually based on a comic book, which I haven't read. Maybe it's this side of the room. Paul and I swap sides of the room for convoluted reason. So maybe this is just where puns originate from.
It's the hot spot, just there.
I like my website.
That's just insulting and a terrible impersonation to boot.
That was me doing a John. That was,
it did take a second to work out what you were doing.
It's not especially good. Because you also have a website too, in fact. Do you want them to suddenly go offline?
No, thank you. And it's a really good website. You should go to it. It's called MovieMistakes.com.
Anyway.
Oh, this is Red. Brilliant. Maybe we should do that one day. Just do a podcast as each other.
No, that wouldn't work.
No.
Anyway, I'm not gonna lower myself to Paul's level of insulting him. But anyway, Red. So
why don't you lower yourself to your own level of insulting Jen then?
Well,
so
yeah,
it's the standard thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm used to it.
No. Oh, bless you.
But that's only because you deserve it. Anyway,
yeah.
So Red.
Our apologies. Red is based on a comic book, and the basic idea is that you've got some retired CIA officers, sort of headed by Bruce Willis is the main one, who suddenly get attacked by people, or so other operatives come after them, and he isn't sure why. So teams up with a couple of other ex-operatives, all now retirement or verging on it, to try and work out what's going on, while Carl Urban, as a new young CIA agent, is sort of coming after him without entirely knowing the whole picture. He basically has been told to go after them, but doesn't know why and wants to find out why himself. And hijinks ensue. But I really enjoyed it. It's a very fun film.
The trailer looked quite fun, actually.
Yeah.
I particularly enjoyed Malkovich.
Yeah, John Malkovich plays a complete nutcase, and he's brilliant at it. He's just... his character has been... He was forced to take LSD every day for, like, 20 years. So as a result, he's a little
forced.
Bit... I think forced.
Oh, right.
Or possibly volunteered to it, but did. I don't think... It wasn't just recreational. It was for either the CIA forced him to, or in a professional capacity to sort of understand it or something.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just a bit loopy. And there's also Helen Mirren as a general operative, and Morgan Freeman, who is on the older side of things. And also a woman whose name I've forgotten, and I want to say it's Georgia Fox, but she's in CSI.
Oh, no, it's Mary McCormack. No.
No.
Mary McFadden. Matthew McFadden.
No. I'm saying Mary Elizabeth Winstead. It's not
Matthew McConaughey.
See, we could just look her up. Andy McNabb. No.
Mary Elizabeth Mastrantino.
Just find out.
No, Mary Louise Parker.
Mary Louise Parker.
There you go.
Get there eventually. Flying through so many obscure questions before we actually got to her. But yeah, who was in the West Wing and other things? Playing, she is basically on the call centre of a sort of retirement or a banking company.
Mm.
And we see at the start Bruce Willis very bored by retirement. And every month or every week his retirement check comes. And then he tears it up and then phones up. People say, oh, my check hasn't come. And he phones up just so he can talk to her because they just enjoy chatting to each other.
Mm.
And then when the CIA people come after him, then he realises they're probably going to come up. I think partly he wants to see it, but also he thinks they're probably going to go after her because he's been spent so long on the phone to her. They'll think there's something between them. So he sort of rescues her and they go on the run together with other people.
Mm.
But it's just... Yeah, if the best comparison, in a weird way, is to the A-Team film.
Right.
But in a better way than that. Because yeah, I thought the A-Team was a lot of fun, but it was a bit messy and a bit disjointed and wouldn't necessarily appeal to everyone.
Yeah.
Red, I think, hits that target better in that it makes... It's more... It goes with a little fun, slightly irreverent, a little bit freewheeling, but in a slightly more restrained way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also slightly funnier, but not doesn't try too hard. But it's also consistent in that it's not... There are some action set pieces, but they're not too huge and overblown. They're a bit more smaller and believable. There's a very good fight sequence between Bruce Willis and Carl Urban in Carl Urban's office when they sort of stumble upon each other. And it's quite... It's not brutal as such, but it's pretty good. It's quite involved. Like the fight at the beginning of Casino Royale, which is in the bathroom, which is quite brutal and... It's not quite as bad as that, but it's very well organised, and you feel they're two trained people probably slugging it out. But it is also quite light-hearted, and these are characters you care about, and it's just a very watchable, fun film.
Yeah, no, good, good.
So it's worth seeing.
It looked quite expendable-ish as well in that sort of in terms of the plot of older guys. It's a chance to get the.
I haven't seen that one.
You just thought that Bruce Willis had retired from action films, but we've lured him out. By,
creating
a whole new premise that he can come.
Well, there is sort of a, particularly since Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Numbskull.
Skull.
That sort of thing. There's been that
nostalgia
kind of,
action.
Yeah, there's been a kind of a, you suddenly realise there's all these ageing action stars who aren't quite ready to move on yet.
Yeah, and they're still big names, but they don't really want to go down these sort of kids' routes.
And they're still marquee names that could open a film in a massive way. So
and Bruce Willis, because while Sylvester Stallone has still got it, but looks older, I mean, he is older, but Bruce Willis really does still, he can still pull it off as an action film. Mm. And he's pitched as, he took early retirement, he's not really pitched as being, oh, he's 70, because he's not, is he 50-something?
Yeah, about that. Yeah.
Probably. So he can still handle himself as an action hero, quite comfortably.
Yeah, and even in Die Hard, of course, he was the first character of an action film who was kind of not the Arnie kind of thing.
Yeah, an everyman.
He was meant to be a bit out of shape and a bit of a paunch and all that. So now he's got that.
But he doesn't really. He's in irritatingly good shape. Yeah.
He's just a love machine.
Yes, one for Friends fans. And if not, apologies. It'll make no sense to you whatsoever. But yeah, so it's just good people in a good film.
I want to go and see it now.
Yeah, it may not be in cinemas anymore.
Oh,
I'm sorry to say. Sorry, but you can check and find out.
Yeah.
But no, it is good. So it's worth it, or worth renting, because it may have been and gone by now.
Yeah.
But it's just an entertaining, fun, action-y film. Yeah. So yeah, seek it out.
See Red.
Yes.
The joke still and then, doesn't quite work.
Still being told, though. So moving on from Red to a film which is nothing like Red, is The Kids Are All Right.
The Kids Are All Right. The Kids are indeed all right.
About it, beyond it being the title of an Offspring song.
Well, it's the director is a woman called Lisa Chud-something. It's a long surname.
Right.
And it's kind of semi-based on her life, from what I gather. And, sorry if my young son just kicked the mic stand, and then it's his fault. Blame him, not me. It's a film about Julianne Moore and Annette Bening, who are a lesbian couple who have kids, both artificially inseminated into each of them.
Oh, right,
if
okay.
That makes sense? The kids aren't inseminated into them. That'd be weird.
So each woman has given birth to one.
Exactly. So they're a family. They are a nuclear family,
yeah.
Just unconventional.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the plot of it really is that the kids, you know, who are, I think, 15 and 18, the eldest of whom is, I can't remember her name, but she played Alice in Alice in Wonderland.
Something like that.
Who's very good in it. Okay. And they decide to trace their birth father, even though, of course, he was never on the scene, but, you know, there was a sperm donor.
Is it the same father for both?
Same father for both.
Okay.
And was he known, or was he just, you know, went into a sperm bank and
Sperm bank. Okay. Exactly that. So so they track him down, and it's Mark Ruffalo.
What are the chances?
A famous Hollywood actor. Exactly. And our mums are Julianne Moore and Annette Bening. Wow. And she was Alice in Wonderland. So only the son who's nobody. Bless him. And Mark Ruffalo, Mark Ruffalo's great, actually. It's kind of almost, to start off with, it looks like it's sort of his film, really, until later on it's much more about the family that he's come into. Mm. But he's kind of a free-living, you can hear the snoring action in the background.
I think you'll find that Joseph is fascinated by me.
Clearly, yeah. If you hear snoring, John's nodded off. Mark Ruffalo's great as sort of this kind of free spirit kind of guy who has his own restaurant and it's just generally nice guy, but didn't ever plan particularly on having a family and has now not quite got a family, but and yet he's got two kids out there.
And yet deliberately donated sperm to a sperm bank.
Well, yes, but he's not a settle down kind of guy.
Right, okay, fair enough.
But then he meets this family, and then it's really just about how he gets on with the kids and how he gets on with Julianne Moore and Annette Bening, and it becomes a really, really nice, sweet family drama. Really well acted, beautifully acted, and funny at times, dramatic at times, romantic at times, and a delight as well that actually you very, very quickly forget that it's about. I say it's about a lesbian couple. It's not really about that. It's that they very quickly become a very standard, conventional family. It's never really dwelt upon that. This is unusual at all.
Yeah, so the focus of the film isn't it's about you know, how a lesbian couple become a family. It's just
exactly. So in fact, I feel slightly bad. I was the one who suggested this for Desert Island Flicks as best. This isn't a lesbian film. It happens to be a film about lesbians. And in fact, I think it's almost a benchmark in sort of I suppose films about you know or lesbian characters in that it just seems normal for
no attention
one of the first times in a big mainstream
that's a good thing.
Big film. And I think the credit to that is in the direction and the writing, but also just in the acting. Julianne Moore and Annette Bening are just really good in it together. And, it was sort of odd. Julianne Moore, I believe, is straight in real life, is she? Because her previous film, I think, was Chloe, when she was a bit lesbian as well. Except with the slightly...
Both actresses are straight.
Slightly younger and hotter and different scenes. Anyway, put it that way. Different scenes in Chloe with, what's her name? The one from Mamma Mia. Her, anyway.
Yes. Oh, I can't remember her name.
Yeah, that one. Yeah.
Are you enjoying
Meryl
that?
Streep.
Right.
No, the other one, the younger one.
Yeah.
But yes. I thought it was a great film, and there's Oscar buzz about both of them.
Really? Yeah. Oh, it's that good.
Is that
okay.
good? That good. Well worth seeking out. And it's just a good, sweet, funny, nice, well-told, good film.
Because from the poster, you think it's going to be like a bit like a, you know, a sisterhood chick flick kind of film, you know?
Well, I suppose it can appeal to that demographic totally.
Because that doesn't appeal to me, and yet, from what you described, it actually comes out as a worthy subject.
In a weird way, a film that comparison that's cropping in my head is Little Miss Sunshine. slightly.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Not quite necessarily in tone, just in just a general family drama.
Yeah.
With you know, everything that covers. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's funny as well. It's not just, it's easy to be put off thinking, oh, it sounds a bit conventional and a drama, but it is a comedy drama, definitely.
Okay.
Lots of good, funny moments in it, and much has been made in the press about how the director has a habit of, she'll do the takes but leave the camera running a bit. Mm. So they'll do the lines, but part of the joy of it is seeing, like, Mark Ruffalo, for example, when he finds out that he gets the phone call from one of his kids, and they say, oh, yes, you've donated. Are you the guy who's donated to a sperm bank years ago? He goes, yes, I am. He goes, well, I'm you know, technically your daughter. Hello. And he goes, oh, hello. And she says, oh, yes, so my mum's, would be, you know, don't know I've called you. And he's like, mum's? He goes, oh, yes, our parents are both lesbians. And he does this sort of lovely thing of like, I love lesbians. And then in the script, that's where it stops. But in the film, because they kept the camera rolling, you see this awkward look that Mark Ruffalo does of just like, I can't believe I said that. And there's a lot of those sort of things where they do the scene, and at the end of it, you see them sort of relax a little bit into it. And it's really convincing, really well done. And a beautiful sort of what I kind of relate to the Emma Thompson moment in Love Actually, you know, when she has a moment in her bedroom.
Mm.
What kind of one of those in the film as well, which is Annette Bening has it. Just beautifully done. Really, really nice.
Mm.
And well recommended.
Mm. Yeah. Wow.
That's it. Yeah, now has to say. The kids are all right. It's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Better than all right.
Better than all right.
Cool.
The kids are even better than all right.
Yeah.
We can get on this.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now have your emails, and we're going to do a couple of movie mashups.
Oh, let's do some movie mashups first.
Yeah, we started these last time. Well, actually, ages ago, and then sort of properly last time. Which you take two film titles that share a word at the beginning and end, and then jam them together, and then describe that film.
Hmm.
And then people have to guess what the film is by the description of what the film would be. So, for example, we have American pilot Ben Affleck. These are from Jed, where we did a couple last time. Now we've got more from Jed. American pilot Ben Affleck is caught in Love Square between hot nurse Kate Beckinsale, his childhood buddy Joss Hartnett, and Scarlett Johansson, a poor secretary who always wears the same pair of pearl earrings to work at the base.
Let's go with the pearl earring. Mm-hmm. Scarlett Johansson.
I don't know if this one technically would work as part of the,
yes, because
I think this is the girl with the Pearl Harbor
earring
necklace thing, whatever.
That's true. Yeah, while they share a word, they don't really overlap.
Surely you've got to end with one word and start with the next kind of thing.
I think they work.
So you say all of the titles,
like Star Wars of the Roses, so it blends in.
Yeah.
You see?
Yes, but this or the Pearl.
I've got
Heartwood. Yes.
Yeah.
I can't remember the girl with Pearl Harbor. Does that sound potentially filthy?
A bit dark.
James Bond and John McClane join forces when Bond's boss, M, McClane's wife, Holly, and others are held hostage by megalomaniac Gustav Graves in Nakatomi Plaza.
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, this is going to be Die Hard Another Day.
Yes.
I think.
Yes.
Do we allow that, do you think?
I don't know.
He's mucking with the system.
Exactly, he's messing with the rules.
See, because the first two follow the now that's a whole new different system. Let's try our charm. We haven't checked these, so we don't know. We're winging it. Disillusioned with his life, Bruce Wayne signs a deal with Rumpelstiltskin to relive a day before his parents were killed, but realizes that he has been erased from existence. And figures in his life, such as Alfred and Commissioner Gordon, have become vastly different versions of themselves due to the alternate timeline.
I don't know.
Because that sounds like A Wonderful Life, but it's not.
Oh, is it? No.
I mean, Rumpelstiltskin is...
I think it's going to be... is it The Dark Knight is one of them, is it?
No, well, it could be any of the Batman films.
Well, if it is The Dark Knight, then it could be The Dark Knight. Is there like a horror film with Knight at the start? Like the Dark... Like Night Masters or Night Wishes or Night... Night Rumpelstiltskin horror film.
Erased from Existence. Rumpelstiltskin.
I don't know.
No, I don't either.
I'll tell you what, I've got the
erased.
I've got the answers.
Are they further down here?
No, they're not on that one. I can put
in
the
email. That's right.
Rumpelstiltskin.
We could move on to emails, but also we've got Maiden Dagenham to talk about.
Oh, yeah. Do a bit of Maiden Dagenham.
We'll do Maiden Dagenham.
By the time you finish that, I'll sort it out.
Then we'll come back to your emails.
Okay.
While we work out the answer to the film, this is the first one that stumped us.
Jed has wrecked the system here by giving us a difficult one.
But this may, this may not have wrecked, this may follow the tradition, but we just can't work out, we just don't know the film. Was it because it was Leprechaun was one, but that's not.
Bat Leprechaun Man?
No, that doesn't really work.
No, it doesn't.
What's Man from Snowy River about? It's not that, is it?
It's about a man from Snowy
River. Fair enough. No, well, we'll find out in a few seconds. This is fascinating airtime, I'm sure.
Made in Dagenham.
Sure.
Made in Dagenham.
This is a little British comedy. I'll say, oh, no, it is comedy, but more drama. Based on a true story, another based on a true story, which seems to have a lot of recently. Which is, it's all about, it's set in the, I think, late 60s, when there's a very big Ford motor plant in Dagenham, which I think is still open and still doing stuff, but in the 60s especially, was enormous, and where most of Ford's European vehicles were made, and it was just a massive place. And the women that worked there they suddenly had their rating changed. I think they were technically skilled labourer or semi-skilled labour. They were sort of sewing together car seats and sort of assembling all those. And they suddenly were downgraded, I think, to unskilled labour or another category, which meant less pay, even though the men, who arguably did less complicated work, were getting paid more.
Right.
And so massive upheaval ended up in strikes and walkouts because people always thought, no, women don't strike, and they did strike. And so all the women in this department stormed out, and it began a sort of nationwide push for equal rights or equal pay rights between men and women, which were not enshrined in law.
Mm.
And
it's crazy to even consider that it has been anything other than equal.
Oh, yeah. And it was, I mean, and you can't, while it's based on truth, you can't get all the conversations, you can't be sure. But I get the impression that attitudes at the time were pretty much, I mean, not to a degree it was the work they did, but also it was just, no, but why should women get paid more?
Mm,
which now sounds like a ridiculous question.
I know, but
it was just a far more sexist time, which is reflected in the film in terms of all the, it's not quite as blatant as, but lots of variants on going at us a cup of tea, no, you shut your little face, men will deal with this. And it's all quite frustrating, but accurate at the time.
Yeah.
And the main woman is it Sally Harper, who was in Happy-Go-Lucky?
Yes.
I want to say Sally Harper. I think so.
Who
is the main woman in it, who is extremely good, and just she does a very good job of being sort of a slightly reluctant hero, kind of, in that she comes to the forefront, or she's brought to the forefront, but not sort of propelled against her will, but sort of people try and encourage her to do more, and then she gets involved and finds she's still not full of confidence, but gets on with it anyway.
Mm.
So she's, very good in that sort of role. It's also got Rosamund Pike in it, who I haven't seen anything for a while.
Oh, yeah, I saw her on stage. She's quite a commanding actress.
I saw her on stage
actress.
As well. Mm. What did you see her in?
Madame Vassard.
Oh, okay.
You saw her in,
I can't remember what it was called. It was a Hitchcock film.
Was it The Naked One?
Yes, The Naked One. To be fair, the title, the words, everything else went out the window, really.
Yes.
I left off at that point.
but she's very good as well. I mean, it's a relatively minor part, but I think she is the wife of one of the Ford sort of management, I think, or possibly one of the union management, who has lots to do, who becomes, and she's also a mother at the same school where Sally Harper's, is it Sally Harper?
Hawkins.
Sally Hawkins.
Oh, sorry.
Sally Harper is the character in Coupling.
Oh, yes.
That's right.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah. So they're both mothers at the same school, but she's both from different social strata, but then come together partly about a teacher who is a bit too abusive to the kid, or sort of corporal punishment, which they disagree with. But also, Rosamund Pike is good as a woman who is, well, she says towards the end that she's got a first from Oxford, is extremely well qualified, and yet gets ignored and sort of sidelined because that's the way the world is.
Mm.
And she doesn't, but also she doesn't really have the opportunity to do anything about it because she's now a housewife and a mother. And I don't think works. So, she's happy with her lot in life, but at the same time, she knows she can't do anything from where she is to sort of change stuff. Whereas Sally Hawkins' character is very much at the front line of having to negotiate with people and in a position of power where she can actually change things. So it says, go on, make the effort, change things. So it's just how that story all pans out, with all the other women involved and different trials and tribulations going on.
So even though it's a worthy story, as I'm sure it is.
Yeah, but it's not annoyingly heavyweight. It's very lightly told, and there it was emotional ups and downs and problems developing.
It looked in the spirit of the full Monty and Brassed Off, was that fair to say? But it's about a kind of tough time in British history,
yes,
but done lightly and
those tough times do come through on occasion, with because there's friction, because essentially because with the women not working, and all so the, lots of the men work at the factory as well. With the women not working, they run out of car seats. With no car seats, they can't make cars, and so the rest of the factory just has to shut down as well. Which means that the women are on strike for a worthy cause, but all the men are annoyed because essentially then they're temporarily laid off because you know, the factory's not going to stay open if they can't make cars. So all the men are annoyed, but sort of acknowledging, yes, it's worthwhile, but what you're doing has cost me my job. And so her husband's out of work, and so and she's off sort of promoting her cause and not necessarily getting involved as much in the family life as she used to be. So, yeah, so there are difficulties, but it is also generally lightly told. And, yeah, it's just a very, very watchable film. Yeah, and interesting cool. interesting to hear about though that time in history, which it wasn't all that long ago, but it was vastly different to how things are now. With also Miranda Richardson playing Barbara Castle, which is a name I remember from my youth, but hadn't really thought about, who was an MP who was sort of pivotal in declaring or getting equal rights or equal pay.
Does she walk around going, "Who's MP?"
Unfortunately not. But yeah, so it's a British film that I think probably out in America.
I don't know if it's made it worldwide. I don't know. Dagenham has been
drawing people. I'd like to think it would
there
do
is, there is an American in it who is often put in, but with good reason because they Ford want you know, need to send someone over to see what's going on, and it is I can't remember. Oh, Richard Schiff. Toby Ziegler from West Wing fame.
He was in another British film recently.
But he's basically playing sort of an evil Toby. Okay. He doesn't have a huge amount to do, but he is coming over and trying to work out how to break the strike in a couple of slightly devious ways.
He was in another British film recently, the Infidel Omar Jalili film that David Baddiel wrote. And didn't get to see, but it looked very good. Just didn't make it into many screens, unfortunately.
No.
It went out again.
Sounds a little controversial.
A little.
A tad.
A tad.
But yeah, no, so if or when it does appear near you, then go and see it.
It's obviously quite a contrast of films from last time, talking about Saw and Burke and Hare, and now we're talking about family.
Well,
films.
You see, Family and Red with you know, explosions and gunfights.
Well, Halloween, you get all the sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And after that, you go, well, now we want a bit of social drama.
And, yeah. And also, we're starting. No,
near the Oscar season, is that what you're saying?
That's what I was about to say, yeah. Sort of starting to get into Oscar season.
Yeah, you see.
More things are popping up on the radar.
That's it.
Worthier, you know, more acting chops required.
There is. You could have a film which is about some women who work in a factory and wonder if they should be or not be. That is
being what, made in Dagen Hamlet.
There you go.
This is going to end up becoming a sickness, isn't it?
Yep.
I can't quite
pretty
show.
Much. That is brilliant.
Pretty much.
God, I've
looked
like
up the answer as well. To,
what is it?
Should we recap?
What was it?
It was disillusioned with his life. Bruce Wayne signs a deal with Rumpelstiltskin to relive a day before his parents were killed. Realizes he's been erased from existence, and figures in his life such as Alfred and Commissioner Gordon have become vastly different versions of themselves due to the alternate timeline.
Now again, this doesn't quite stick with the rules of it, which is what's a bit more difficult.
To be honest, we may not have clarified the rules really before we.
Well, very good. We make it up as we go along.
Yeah.
Batman Forever After being a mix of Batman Forever and Shrek Forever After. But it's missing out the keyword Shrek, which makes it a bit easier to work out.
Oh, I see.
See, because what could have worked then is Bruce Wayne and Drew Barrymore in a sort of a Cinderella Batman story, which would be Batman Forever After. So we may not clarify, in which case we probably should. We should set proper guidelines, which is, so films should begin and end with the same word.
Yes.
Or something for work. But we'll go through Jed's remaining overtime.
Well, like the next one does work, for example.
Oh, really? Oh,
Dr. Frankenfurter, after being kicked out of his band, becomes a substitute teacher to a bunch of fifth graders and turns them into a cross-dressing rock band. Oops.
Oh, School of Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Exactly. So that one works, you see. So there you go. Them's the rules.
If you've got any, if you can think of any, or send them in to podcast@moviebanter.co.uk or tweet us @moviebanter. And so just send in the description, but leave off the title, so then we can't cheat. And then if we can't guess the title, then we'll either try and work it out or else ask you to email us in with the title.
Can we just do the next one? Because it's so blindingly obvious.
Go for it.
Go on, John.
I've got it straight away, just like two words.
To change things up a little, Steve Carell and Tina Fey go to the Museum of Natural History for their date night.
I know.
They're accidentally locked in the museum after it closes, and along with unwitting night guard Ben Stiller have to fend off the exhibits that come to life.
I know what it is. It's Gone Baby Gone with the Wind, isn't it? Isn't it?
See, I want to hear that description. I think that will be Date Night at the Museum.
Could be that.
Quite possibly.
See, that's a pure example, though, isn't it? Yeah. If not a bit obvious.
Fair enough. Yeah. And I now need to be very careful not to spend far too long working out.
There goes your week. Yeah, quite easily. Yeah.
Cool.
But yeah, no, so do send us in if you have any more. I think that's
it.
Yeah. Except for
Do you want to do any emails or not?
Do we have time for
emails, really?
That was it.
Let's do a couple of quick emails.
Threw everything off.
Jen's very excited. We've got a squirrel in our back garden.
So I've had a baby and a squirrel today. It's all been wonderful.
Impressive.
Who among us can say that, really?
A biological freak.
It's a really fat squirrel.
He's my little friend. He's here most days.
He's
very sweet. He's very sweet.
Oh, look at him run.
He's a real winner.
This isn't great radio, by the way.
Sorry, but yeah.
And now the squirrel's running off the fence.
And now the email.
Yes. We have one from Neil Morgan saying hi.
Hi, Neil.
Hi, Neil.
I'm working my way through the podcast. Just finished the 84 and 87 casts and enjoyed them. Those are podcasts where we talked about 1984 and 87. Not. We haven't been going for 26 years. If only. Well, we have been going for 2 years.
Hey! Happy birthday, etc.
I like the format. Have a laugh as I walk the dog early morning and evening. People must think I'm a loon. Oh, thank you very much. I'm quite touched by that. Because, yeah, I do the same with not ours. I don't listen to us. It's just painful. But other podcasts I listen to. And you do worry if you're walking around in public and something funny happens. You just burst out laughing. Even if people see the headphones, they may just think you're a nutter. Who wears headphones to conceal your manic laughter?
Embrace the
mentalness. Some good ideas. Focusing on a year and on ideas like remakes. A refreshing change, folks. Fair enough.
We might do more of that. We haven't done it since 84, 87.
Yeah.
Lots more to choose from.
Not since 87.
No, no. You know, I'd like to do, because I don't think we've talked much about any film from before when we were born, really, have we? Much.
No, that's true.
We should do like 1955 or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Just to see if we've seen anything.
But my film knowledge before Star Wars is rubbish.
We could do that. But 1977, then. There we are.
Well, that's
maybe that's the next one to do.
Yeah, that's true.
There you go. We'll give it a go.
I mean, let's talk about the album by Ash.
We shall do that soon.
Maybe we should give ourselves a 5-year gap, just to, you know.
Well, 5-year window. No, but then
5-year window.
That's a bit too broad, though.
Don't you think 55 is a bit specific?
Well, maybe not 59.
No, there were films out there. There's more than about three, I'm sure.
Well, because the thing is, we picked 84 and 87 because those are my and Paul's respective favourite film years. So we could just narrow down on another.
Maybe we should do whatever Jen's favourite film year is. What's your favourite film year, Jen?
I'm sure we all have
opinions on this.
I actually think that 84 probably was...
That was my one! Hooray!
One of my favourites. But
84 is War Games. I think War Games.
Don't try and win her over now. It's too late. She said 84.
Well, no, I'm
agreeing.
He's agreeing.
Saying what would have worked for Jen.
So, yes.
I think War Games might have been 84. Ghostbusters was, I think. Oh, my brain's gone.
Do you know, I could even probably end up with something from the 90s. Something quite cheesy. I'll have to have a think.
We'll come back with this.
I think 1990 was probably quite good.
Yeah.
That big change, wasn't it?
Mm. Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah.
Total Recall.
Exactly. The Dickens.
Sorry, Joseph's thrashing around. A mention of Total Recall is set in
there. Now, just because, again, this is a visual thing which we need to relate. That was the squirrel that we previously talked about.
Oh, right.
Jumping on the roof over the baby, which we previously talked about. It's waking the baby via squirrel-based noises. So,
squirrel which Jen gave birth to earlier.
Exactly.
Yes.
A busy day for Jen and a podcaster rounded off. Yeah.
Also an email from Ryan Peterson.
Hey, Ryan.
Okay, just thought I'd point out. No, you see.
Ryan, you haven't got a fan.
It's a squirrel.
Sorry.
Since you spent time talking about Daredevil, I think it's important to remember the worst comic book movie ever made came out in 1987 as Superman 4, The Quest for Peace. Oh, you're quite right. I went to see that in the cinema as well with my sister. I must have had terrible film taste as a child.
I'm not even sure if I can remember this one. But,
oh, you're not missing out.
But Ryan then goes on to describe it as utter tripe.
Yes.
Wow.
Which is a fair description. So the effects are worse than laughable. Mark Pillows, a Chippendales dancer, I know that. Couldn't act his way out of an open doorway as a solar-powered clone of Superman.
Do you know what? I'm surprised.
Well, yeah. The filmmakers put no effort into making any kind of story we'd actually care about. The double date with Lois and Lacey, where he has to pretend to be both Clark Kent and Superman, belongs in an episode of Friends, not on the big screen. And where did Superman pick up this masonry vision he uses to fix the Great Wall of China? That does ring a bell, actually, where I think he basically just stares at the Great Wall of China and it rebuilds itself.
Wow, so he's got the Force.
Yes. The only thing going for it, it doesn't have the silver Borg lady from the previous movie. Yeah, Superman 3 and 4.
Was that the one where the girl gets trapped? Well, woman gets trapped inside the computer. And
yeah,
I remember that being quite scary.
Yeah, I haven't seen them for a long time, but my memory of Superman 3 and 4 are not positive.
Oh, because she's really screaming and it's like, ooh, yeah, I remember that.
Well, they may be worth rewatching just to confirm whether they are
I have a feeling it might be utter tripe. Yeah. But
I think 3 and 4, or 3 was a bit too funny, which Superman shouldn't really be.
I had that comic.
Richard Pryor. But it was just a bit weird. They sort of lost the heart of Superman. Although the new Superman film, being directed by Zack Snyder of Watchmen and 300 fame.
Ooh.
Yeah, which could be interesting. And wow. And produced by Christopher Nolan.
Okay.
And I think... No, it's written by someone good as well.
So it's complete new rebranding.
No one's saying... No one's letting on yet. No one quite knows.
Because I didn't see the other one. I didn't see the most recent Superman.
I didn't mind Superman Returns. But it wasn't... It was a little bit too... It wasn't quite spectacular enough.
It just seems like it had a bit of a dodgy timing. I mean, the fact is, for comic book heroes, to suddenly go back to Superman, he's a bit too clean cut in the market compared to the others.
That's an oft repeated problem. He's a bit too. He doesn't have much depth to him. Which is a bit harsh, but also slightly fair. And also, he's a bit too invulnerable. It's kryptonite, and that's it.
Yeah.
Whereas I think the current trend is a slightly more. I mean, even the X-Men have got superpowers, but they're still generally damageable.
Not weak, yeah. They're real people.
Except
with real flaws.
But then he's got his flaws in his own way.
Oh, and he's just messed up in the head.
Whereas Superman is basically invulnerable to everything.
Yeah.
But then Superman Returns did have the shot of a slow-motion bullet impacting on his eyeball, which is extremely cool. It was in the trailer. Okay. He's just walking towards a machine gun, and you just see this bullet into his eyeball, which is very cool. So it was alright, and Brandon Routh, I didn't mind, he's a little bit wooden, but he was good as Clark, so... I'm going off on a slight tangent now. But there's still no Superman has been cast in the new one. And people are wondering, it may be Brandon Routh again, possibly. But no one's sure. Jen's smiling. And
I know exactly why,
because Jen wants it to be Chris Pine.
Yeah!
Who could work, but I think he's a little bit too cool.
No, I'm only just teasing. Though hopefully we might go and see a preview of...
Possibly. There's a new film coming out called Unstoppable.
Yeah, if we do, we shall let you know.
Yes, which is not due out for a couple of weeks. Mm. But then this may not go out.
Has that got Chris Pine in?
Yes, it does.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
He's nice.
Chris Pine can't be Captain Kirk and Superman. That'd be rude.
And he's going to be Jack Ryan as well. Tom Clancy new film. Yeah.
Rude. Share the parts around a bit.
Steady on. And also an email from Jed. Hello, Jed. Which is a very long email, which we can't read the entirety of, but he's talking about his most hated films. And so to touch on that, we have many at the bottom of his barrel are superhero comic book films, which is fair enough, because a lot of the worst...
A big disappointment,
terrible,
anyway.
Yeah.
Catwoman, to me, is the worst offender, which I've never seen deliberately, because it is.
What with Hayley Beck?
The comic book character Selina Kyle has tremendous cinematic potential, an elegant, sultry cat burglar with a tragic past, a magnetic chemistry with a crime fighter on the other side of the law. However, the version we got was not even Selina Kyle. Everything didn't fit, from the casting to the horrific costume to the cheap-looking music video aesthetic.
Yeah.
Which is fair enough.
The costume didn't fit? Just a bit baggy, was it? A bit loose?
I think it was a bit too tight.
Oh, right.
It was one of the most inefficient superhero crime-fighting costumes
ever.
It barely covered any bit of her.
Basically underwear.
Yeah. And had lots of Egyptian mythology thing, and it was to go from Batman Returns to that just made no sense.
Yeah.
It was just weird decision making on every level as to why anyone would think Catwoman. Yeah, we've got a character. Let's change her entirely into something else that no one will recognise. Mm. And it's just it's bizarre. Whereas if they'd made an actual Catwoman film, could have been quite good.
Yeah.
And rumours still abound that in The Dark Knight Rises, which is the Batman 3, that she may be in that, but no one knows yet.
Well, that title's been announced since we've done a podcast.
Yes. Yeah. So, but still no plots. And the thing is, people keep coming, given that Christopher Nolan has always, they've all been sort of real films, with no superhero or, with no superhero supernatural aspects to them.
Mm.
And yet people seem recently have just pinned down saying, oh, Killer Croc is going to be in it, who's a Batman villain, who's basically a sort of half-man, half-crocodile.
What?
Genetic mutant. And then also Clayface, who is essentially a guy who's kind of made of clay and can reconfigure his own, who fits in the comics. But people seem really keen, it's going to be these guys in the new film. Why?
Christopher
Nolan's not going to put those people in a realistic Batman film.
I used to like King Tut.
Oh dear.
It was a bit rough. That was my era, the 60s, kind of.
The year 60s was your era?
Yeah.
No, although he has said, I think he said, that it's not going to be the Riddler.
Oh.
So. Mm. But we shall see. But there are lots of good, realistic Batman villains to choose from.
Yeah.
But we'll see. But yeah, there's no plot or anything announced yet. So everything is pure rumour and speculation.
Well, it's
good
to know that there
rubbish.
Is a good catalogue to choose from.
Yeah, there is. There is a lot of good stuff to work with. And also, he's done two extremely good Batman films. There's no reason to assume he's not going to do a third one.
No, exactly.
The third one will not be good. I think he said he didn't want to commit to it until he knew he could make a good one.
Mm.
It's not going to be the Dark Knight Forever, is it, really?
No.
The Dark Knight Forever after. Rumpelstiltskin.
The Dark Knight and Robin.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I don't know how it comes to Batman, but I managed to turn it on to him anyway.
Hold on.
Yes, but thank you, Jen and Ryan and Neil.
And thank you for your long email, Jed. Apologies. We could just read out the first word of each paragraph and you get the highlights.
But make it slightly convoluted.
Exactly. I think it was our record longest email, actually, wasn't it?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well done.
Yes. Good. But yes. But no, they are read, but it's not always readable. So I think that does it.
Very good. Yeah, should we do some Desert Island Flickings?
Oh, yes, of course. I keep dealing.
What is it this time?
We're doing best lesbian film. Involving the lesbian people.
And there is actually because Wikipedia has a section on it which is useful for reference things like this, and there are a lot of good quality lesbian films,
exactly,
which I shouldn't sound surprised at, but it's kind of films that you wouldn't necessarily jump to mind, but you think go on, Jen.
The one that comes to my mind is going to have to be Mulholland Drive.
Yeah.
Good film.
I just think it's an awesome film.
It is. Bonkers.
Absolutely bonkers, but it keeps you guessing. And I don't know, maybe it's also because it's about an actress trying to break away into Hollywood. It's quite appealing on that level. Who is a lesbian, yes. And it's this wonderful sort of fantasy cloud. You don't quite know what's real, what's not, where the clues are, where it begins, where it ends. I think it's just the kind of film which you can watch again and again and again.
Yeah.
And the lesbian thing isn't really a huge issue, but it's so nicely interwoven about someone's desires and wishes, both for the career and for the relationship and admiration of other people. I just think it's great. Yeah. Good film.
I'm going to have to go, so I'd forgotten about this until seeing it there and then immediately leapt to the top of my list, which is Bound, which is what the Wachowski brothers did. Before. I think it was pretty much, I don't know where the idea came from, I don't know if it's based on anything or just a script they wrote, but it was pretty much, they wanted to make The Matrix and went to Warner Brothers saying, here's The Matrix film, it's going to cost $100 million. And they went, whoa, you've never done anything, make something else first to prove you can make a film and then come back to us. And they went away and made Bound and said, right, yeah, okay, here's $20 million, make a film. And so they made, not quite, but the general gist was that. And so they went away and made Bound, which proved they could make a brilliant thriller and a very interesting film. And again, it's about essentially a lesbian couple or a couple, two women who have an affair, essentially, while one of them is married to a mob boss and then plan to run away together. But then they need to work out how to get rid of the mob boss first. So set up a plot to bring him down. And again, it's not like it's the lesbian relationship is pivotal to the whole thing as such, but it does tie it together nicely and gives them reasonings to be together and why they do certain things they do. And it just works out to be a brilliant, very entertaining thriller with Joe Pantoliano being the mob boss, who was also in Matrix, of course. And it's Jennifer Tilly and Gina Gershon.
That's right.
Yes. I think Jennifer Tilly. Might be Meg Tilly. I can never remember which is which.
I think it's Jennifer.
I think I know Jennifer in more stuff. So that's very good. So if you've not seen it, well worth watching.
Yeah, what about you then, Paul?
There's something to choose from. April's Shower, Nina's Heavenly Delights, Itty Bitty Titty Committee.
Now, are these all real films?
They're all from Wikipedia.
But are they your personal collection?
No, Tracy Gamey I'm going for.
Oh, really?
Good fun film. I've enjoyed Chasing Amy. It's been a funny film. It's probably not, required reading in lesbian film studies at university, but it's fun.
Yeah,
it's funny.
Thing is,
I thought it was fairly deftly dealt with, wasn't it? It wasn't sort of too sort of exploitative of the.
I don't think so.
Sexuality or anything, was it? I don't think.
Not that I can think of. I think the only aspect which may be debated, but I come from a position of knowing nothing. Essentially, that Ben Affleck falls in love with a lesbian who he essentially sort of turns back.
Yeah.
Except he doesn't really, but he's sort of done, which may cause some conflict or
maybe,
be unrealistic.
Maybe.
Chase Amy always slightly loses me to a degree.
as it progresses, but I can't quite put my finger on why. It doesn't. It's not one of my favourite Kevin Smiths, but it is nicely done, and it's worth a watch.
Yeah.
So I think that's a lot.
Well, exactly. And
all this talk of lesbians is waking Joseph up.
Exactly. The whimpering of maybe is just dreaming of baby lesbians. I've no idea.
He's just thinking of all the boobs.
Exactly.
Well, that's true.
Well, that's true. Oh, it's all... big boob fan right now. Dinner time. So yes, thank you for listening. And any thoughts and queries, complaints.
No complaints.
No complaints.
Yeah. But let us know. Podcast at yeah, but do let us know your movie mashups. And yeah, so yeah, just to lock down the rules.
Yes.
So say a film title, it has to begin and end with the same word or syllable, and it has to sort of roll into each other.
So you're saying both complete titles.
Yes.
In the mashup.
So
maybe you can
lose,
lose
the,
an A or a
yeah.
Or
so
a.
Star Wars of the Roses, okay.
Yeah. Or like Jed did last time, was The Lord of the Ring, which I quite like, because that's abbreviating, but yeah, it still sort of works.
Raiders of the Lost Highway arc, probably not, because you've got to cut off a bit of too much of the film, don't you, to get anyone.
But I think you know what
you
we
get
mean.
Yeah,
you get the idea. Yeah, so let us know, podcast@moviebanter.co.uk, or tweet us @moviebanter, or Facebook/moviebanter.
Yeah, that's where we be.
And that's all the options, I think.
So there you are. Cool. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
And we'll
see you next time.
We'll pod you again.
If you're lucky. Bye.
Ta-ra.
Bye.